but we have required more. Thank you all for coming. We will call the meeting to order. I will have a roll call so we can have an official. Can you hear?
No.
Speak loud.
Michelle.
Speak loud.
Okay, we'll try to speak as loud as possible.
Okay, Doc.
A roll call, please. Okay.
Lisa Vega.
Present.
Frank Blash.
Here.
Kathy Kretschmer.
Here.
Jose Munoz.
Here.
Thank you. Nicole Fyatt.
Here.
Krista Romero-Cardenas.
Here.
And Chair Ron Spark.
Present.
Okay, we have quorum.
Thank you. I just like to mention that it was uncertain whether I'd be reappointed as of the last meeting. Could have been my swine song. But the good news and bad news, the good news, I'm back here, and the bad news, I'm still chair. So we have a lot of people from the community here, and I think to show that we are a citizen volunteer group, I'd like to go around to the commissioners and just introduce themselves and then also with the staff so everybody knows who everybody is. I think that's very appropriate.
Lisa Vega, Ward 1, Buddy Hollywood.
And Nicole Fyfe, appointed by the city manager, probably a couple city managers previously, to reference out youth sports.
Frank Flash, I'm not sure if I'm Ward 2 or who I am right now.
I think you were city manager.
City manager.
Yes. Ward 3.
Ward 3.
Ward
3.
Ward 3.
Ward 3. Ward 3.
Hello, everyone. That's a loud voice. Okay.
Yeah.
My name is Krista. I'm also looking at you. It's easier. My name is Krista Romero-Cardenas. I was also appointed by city manager. I believe I'm vice chair, and I am representing and supporting our environment, natural resources. Thank you. Public health.
And I'm Kathy Kretschmer, city manager and with seniors.
Ron Spark, Ward 6, and chair of this group.
Diana Schroeder with Tucson Parks and Recreation.
Lara Hamway, Director of Parks and Recreation.
Greg Jackson, Deputy Director of Parks and Recreation.
Jasmine Chan, Capital Planning Administrator with Parks and Recreation.
I'm Colin Jessen. I'm the Senior Project Manager at the Department of Transportation and Mobility.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lydia Barker. I'm a planner with the Department of Transportation and Mobility.
You know, I'm Patrick Hartley. I'm the Planning Administrator with the Department of Transportation and Mobility.
Aaron Williams, Management Advisor, City Manager's Office.
Thank you all. I have a bit of a nostalgia. Patrick and I go way back when Moby Dick was a minnow.
First child working by your side.
Online. And Jose, Munoz? Did we get Jose?
Jose Munoz?
Hi, everyone. Sorry. My name is Jose Munoz. Pronouns he, him, él. I am represent. I believe I was appointed by the mayor's office, and I live in Arroyo Chico. Thank you for you all being here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jose. A special also recognition is our fiscal guru is back. Frank Flish, much Aaron Williams' concern, I guess. Thank you. You know, in my growing up, there was always these serial movies like The Return of the Son of Lassie. So you're back in it.
Back in a flash.
Return of Flash.
Yes.
In a flash. Okay. The next item is a call to the audience. I would like to note that the commission has received and hopefully, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say there's one more staff person.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Here, and then there's
three more.
Okay.
So, Aliz, if you could introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Aliz Kutuchek. I'm a project manager at the Department of Transportation and Mobility on the planning team.
Let's do the next one.
Joe Barr.
Hi, everybody. I'm Joe Barr, project manager.
And then The other folks on here, Chloe Ward and Elizabeth Barnes Hansen, those are two of our consultants from the Alamo Wash project team.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if we want to have them introduce themselves now.
Yes, please. Yeah, we very much so. We want to.
Hi, everyone. I'm Chloe Ward. I'm an engineer with Alta Planning and Design.
Hi, everyone. I'm Elizabeth Barnes Hansen, engineering lead with Horox for Alamo Wash.
Wow, that's a lot of talent. That's good. Thank you, ladies, for your professionalism and input. So in the call to audience section, I was saying the commission has received three letters. These were disseminated to the commission, and hopefully everybody got a chance to see them. I'd like to make a couple of comments on call to the audience. From a structural standpoint, commissions and committees are allotted about 15 minutes of the evening to a call to the audience. That's obviously unfair with the turnout we've had. I think we have about 10 people that have requested to speak, and I would like a couple of things. One, try to hold your remarks to about 3 minutes. Oh, more.
Thank you. Got
it. Even more. Keep in mind what the previous speakers have said, so maybe it won't be so redundant, but if you can bring in some new point that someone else has not made, that would be very helpful to the commission to understand that. I'm going to extend the call to the audience time to a half hour, but at that point, we will have to cut it off, so we may not be able to service those people that have submitted cards to speak. So we have 12 people, 3 minutes, and so it may be that the last couple people who submitted their cards won't have the opportunity to speak. With that said, we still can receive communication after this meeting. Our site is open. We are a community-driven commission, so we're very anxious to get citizens' input in what we do, what we think about. Okay, we will start our session. The first speaker is online. It's please identify your organization or who you represent. You may just represent yourself. That's fine. But I think for everybody's way of seeing what your affiliation might be. So our first speaker is Beverly Tidwell. You have 3 minutes, please.
Thank you. So the most important reference for me is I've lived in the Loma Verde Neighborhood Association for 33 years. Oh, rats. You can probably hear the kookaburras in the background. I'm now in Australia. But I'd like to thank Dr. Sparks for coming to look at the lay of the land around Loma Verde Park, because that is the reason we moved into that neighborhood, so our children could play in that park in unrestricted play. The bike path's a great idea. There's plenty of paved road in our neighborhood that it can go through. I understand for expediency you'd like to go through the park. I'm reluctant to agree to Colin's first plan, but I thought Dr. Sparks had a really quick observation in that Chantilly and 14th Street would be the best use of money, space, green space. As you know, Tucson only has 4 to 7% green space, and so where the national average is 15%. So we want to protect as much of that green space as possible. It's also interesting. I Googled once when I was in Portland, Oregon, because there's so many trees there. I said, which city in America United States had the most trees? Came up Atlanta, Georgia. But in the next sentence, it said the city with the least number of trees was Tucson, Arizona, which is very disappointing. So I'm very interested in maintaining green space. So, thank you very much. Oh, I've been riding bike paths here in Port Stephens in New South Wales, which has been great from beach to beach. But I'll tell you, those kids on their electric scooters and motorized bikes weaving in and out through bicyclists actually is definitely poses a hazard.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you for being so concise and directed in your remark. The second speaker is a Beth Barry. Is she?
Hi.
Thank you.
So I live in the parade grounds, which is at the corner of Orlando and Fort Lowell. It's part of the old Fort Lowell Neighborhood Association. When this project or it came to our attention, I was the president of the HOA in the neighborhood. I'm here tonight speaking as an individual that lives in the neighborhood. I'm still on the board, but I'm not the president, so I'm representing my own thoughts. I just wanted to thank the project coordinators and the engineers for listening to all the input from everyone. It's been really nice to have the dialogue going back and forth. And we've heard from a lot of the different neighborhoods the impact, the pluses and the minuses. And I'm here to say thank you because it looks like the section that would go through our neighborhood from Fort Lowell to the river is no longer on the agenda. And I just wanted to comment on that. The current stopping looks like it's Sahara and Glen. And there are places to get to the loop around the city from that intersection instead of coming down Glen or down Fort Lowell and coming through the parade ground neighborhood. Our biggest concerns were the impact of wildlife that would be disturbed and the need to remove many of the mature trees along the banks of the Wash. Estimates were up to 50 to 80 trees would have had to be removed. That area in the old Fort Lowell neighborhood is designed to preserve the natural habitat of the area when it first developed years and years ago. So we would love to see protected and preserved. Construction of an 8 to 10 foot wide path would involve significant cost, and cost is certainly an issue for this path to widen and stabilize the current path and might require reinforcing the banks of the Alamo Wash. Additionally, construction would probably need to include an additional bridge over the Alamo Wash because the bridge in our neighborhood is privately owned and maintained. So if the Alamo Wash were to come through our neighborhood, an additional bridge would have to be built, and that would be a very significant
cost. Could you summarize your remarks? Because you're almost up to 3.
Okay, I just want to say thank you. I think safety to our neighborhood is of concern also for pedestrians and bikers. If we brought a lot more traffic in, I think people are afraid that we might not be safe as we cut the block through our neighborhood. Okay, so thank you.
All very good points made. Thank you for coming tonight. The next speaker is, it's Nancy Krywonis.
Hi, I'm Dr. Nancy Krywonis. I'm the president of the Garrison, the community right next to the parade grounds, and I'm speaking on behalf of our community. I echo everything that Beth has just said. I am very, very concerned about a safety issue. Namely, we have gates coming, opening and closing into our community. I worry that how you're going to navigate bikes going that way. A lot of bikes, when there's an open path, you go kind of fast, but there might be a car coming another way. The other issue is safety and feasibility. There is one point where the path is 8 feet only. And every architectural review you read about bike paths say you need at least 10 feet, if not 12 feet wide. You're going to have a brick wall on one side, and you're either going to fall down the abyss of the Wash, or you're going to have to spend a lot of money to widen it. So I'm worried about the safety of it. But thank you very much for hearing us and hearing our opinions from the Garrison.
Thank you for your remarks, and thank you for coming tonight. Appreciate that. Could you tell us a little again where the Garrison community?
The Garrison community comes off of Orlando. It's and Old Fort Lowell. It's part of the Old Fort Lowell section. We share a security gate with the parade grounds, so we're kind of their cousins.
And thank you. Thank you very much. Our fifth speaker is Sue Goodman.
Just in case we run out of time for speakers, I would like to defer to our president of the Loma Verde Neighborhood Association, and if there's time at the end,
sure,
then I will speak. So
now,
Alex,
I'm going to
put
your card at the back if
okay.
We have enough time. Thank you. That's very gracious of you. Okay, the next speaker is Ariel Gilbert Knight.
Everyone, was Alex going to take my spot?
I'll go. I'm in the line. I'm near the end, so I will follow.
Okay. I'm Arielle Goodwin-Knight. I live in the Palo Verde Park neighborhood, south of Broadway between Wilmot and Colm. I'm also joined by members of the Palo Verde Park Neighborhood Association Leadership Council and fellow homeowners and residents of Palo Verde Park. I wanted to say thank you to everyone involved in planning the Alamo Wash Greenway and for the opportunity to comment here. I'm here to express my enthusiastic support for the proposed shared-use asphalt path between Wilmot and Stella Road. The proposed asphalt path would provide a much-needed, safe, comfortable, and accessible route through Palo Verde Park neighborhood and beyond. I'm specifically supportive of it being an asphalt shared-use path because it supports so many different modes of travel, and people of all ages and abilities would be able to use it. That includes pedestrians, runners, cyclists, parents pushing strollers, people using wheelchairs and other mobility devices. And that's why I'm really hoping that the Bond Oversight Commission will ultimately approve the preferred alternative for the Alamo Wash Greenway, specifically the shared use path between Wilmot and Stella. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for being so concise. You got everything in there. That's great.
Yeah, one breath.
Yeah. Okay, we're running actually ahead of time, so maybe we get everybody in. Kim Barton is our next speaker. Would you identify where you're filming?
I'm over here. Well, should I go up there?
Yeah.
Okay. So thanks for hearing us. I'm the Loma Verde Neighborhood Association Secretary. I've lived in the Loma Verde neighborhood for 25 years. My son grew up playing in the Loma Verde Park. My husband and I walk our dog there every single day, almost every day. Sometimes we skip Saturdays because there's so many disc golfers. my main concern is the preferred plan that makes the path go between a playground, a fairly busy playground, and the wall that separates our neighborhood park from Park Place Mall. It's a very, very narrow space. And to have a 10-foot-wide shared-use path going that close to a playground where children are playing is really not very safe. Because as most of us know, children like randomly run around, and I walk regularly along the Rito, and some of those people are cruising by on bikes really, really fast. So going that close to a playground isn't safe for the bikes or the children. But I also, as Beverly said, I want to maintain as much green space in that park as possible. So any path, any plan that goes anywhere near the middle of the path is or the park, I'm really not a fan of. But I also want to look out for all the trees that we have. We have a lot of mature trees and that we want to keep for shade. And so basically, if we can use Chantilly and 14th Street for the bikes and do the least amount of damage to the park is what I'm hoping for. So. Thank you.
Thank you for your remark. The next speaker is Nippy Feldhake.
Thank you very much. I've been a member of the Loma Verde Board since 2016. My grandparents, my parents, and I have lived in the neighborhood since the 60s. I've also done almost every L tour, so I'm an avid cyclist. And looking at the route, As a cyclist, it's not very appeasing, and it's not very conducive, all the turns. And again, like the lady said, having the kids right next to where the bike path goes just does not make sense. Well, you have Chantilly and 14th, which are roadways, which have curves on each side. Bikes are used to sharing the roadway with cars, so putting the bike path there makes more sense than putting it through the park, losing the green, losing the grass, and putting it right next to where kids are playing. Also, that park in 2006, you know, so we lost a lot of eucalyptus because of the irrigation went south. They redid the whole park with all the irrigation, and now putting the path in there is basically going to do away with all that irrigation, all that money spent in the 60s. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Very efficient comments, and we appreciate your being concise. We actually even have another speaker. Let's see what we can do and squeeze people in. Lynn Montiel is our next citizen.
Hi. Thanks for listening to us. I just wanted to say my husband and I have lived in that neighborhood for 33 years. We've raised our kids here in that neighborhood, and we've also had them enjoy parties and playing in the park. As Nippy said, our park went through a really bad period where we lost a lot of trees. There was no more grass. We were having a lot of people come there that we didn't really want in the park. And it was discouraging the residents in the area to even want to spend time at the park. We worked really hard to get a new irrigation finally put in that park. We finally have grass and new trees. And the last thing that park needs is to have a bike path go anywhere near where we have trees or grass space. It's just not productive for the neighborhood. We are not opposed to a bike path, but it needs to go along the roads that are already existing. It's a residential street on Chantilly and also on 14th Street.
Yeah.
And we can slow it down and let the bikes go that route. But it's ridiculous to have that park ruined for this matter. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Our next speaker is Alfredo Arias.
Close.
Arias.
Thank you. Sorry.
Sorry. I've heard worse. I am the president of the Palo Verde Park Neighborhood Association, and along with Ariel and colleague here, Matt, we are in approval of the route going through the Palo Verde Park neighborhood area. But we do have concerns regarding our colleagues at Loma Verde, and we feel that the park itself is awful narrow to add a bike route to that, both with kids and let's not forget the disc golfers there. Shooters. I think that would be important that we leave the park alone because it's okay. I remember when it was really bad with the way these people were talking about, and it's improved so much. And why ruin it when it's fine the way it is? And it seems like people are going to be going down the streets anyway until they get to that point. Why not just have them go around a little bit more?
Thank you very much. Again, very efficient. We're going to squeeze everybody in that wants the door tonight. Matt Russell is our next speaker.
Hello. I'm on the board of Palo Verde Park Neighborhood. Obviously, homies right here. We're definitely cool with Loma Verde Park. I guess I'm possibly the only person representing disc golfers in Tucson. I believe it's the only disc golf course in Tucson that's fully grassed. We certainly have heard from the lovely lady in Australia. Can she hear me?
Beth.
Yes, Beth. Yes, we pick up trash at Palo Verde Park. You pick up trash. Do you remember me? Cool. She's awesome, and she has so much
I remember you.
Yeah, cool, nice. So I guess the only thing I got to say, echoing everything else about that, yes, we're cool with it cruising through Palo Verde neighborhood, but I guess it just comes down to a liability kind of thing. If you have a path coming through Loma Verde and got some dude or some woman hucking a disc and it hits somebody inside the head, unfortunately, we live in a pretty Sue happy culture of America. Somebody's going to get hurt.
I've already been here.
Exactly. So, I mean, somebody's going to get hurt. I'm just going to say, the disc golf, the park's there.
Just told you.
It's fine. Please don't mess with it because hearing about all the issues of all the construction, it's finally the where it should be and things are growing. Liability reasons with the disc golf. We got streets. Just go around and connect it right back into it.
And parking too. And parking.
And the parking too. It's all that. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for your remarks. Well, actually. Back to Sue Goodman, if you read the last speaker, if you'd like.
No, there's two more.
It should be me also.
We have 40 minutes.
I can't see my card.
Sorry, did we run out of cards?
No.
Me?
No. Did we run out of cards?
Did you fill out a card?
I handed you my card. Really, Mr. Card.
Alex Babb.
I handed you my card.
Yeah, Diane. I gave Diane the cord.
I'm sorry.
The pile got big. Give us a second. We'll take care of it for sure.
What's the two names for missing?
Alex Babb. Will Sullivan.
And I paused.
Sullivan. Yes, Sullivan I saw. I'm sorry. I must have turned your over. Right. Why don't you go, and then we'll let Mr. Sullivan.
Alex Babb.
And then Mr. Babb to follow. Thank you. Excuse me.
Thank you, Sullivan. There you go.
Cards. We're short card charts here. Okay.
Good. Thank you all for allowing us to speak. And thank you, Palo Verde Park. And thank you, Fort Lowell area, because I think we all kind of have the same complaints as far as our park is thriving. And it took a long time to get to that point. And I'm not an old timer like so many are. I've only been down the street from there for 8 years. And I go down there at least once a day. And the activity level that takes place there with the playground, with the disc golfers, nobody's mentioned Abbey School, the school for autistic children who go on field trips over to that park and usually play ball right in the area that the path was proposed. The wildlife needs to be protected. I don't think there's been an environmental impact study on the old growth trees that are there and their purpose for climate mitigation versus all the little stubby trees that are not thriving. So we want to keep those trees. We want to keep the cactus garden. We have lots of rabbits up there. We have lots of owl nests, not quite as famous as the northern soft-wet owl up in Agua Caliente Park, but people in that neighborhood could go down every day during the season that those owls were nesting in those old eucalyptus trees. So really, those trees, they provide shade. We don't want to expand an urban island, and we want to keep it with the beauty and the serenity that exists there for lots of different types of people. The stakeholders there are tremendous. And I agree. Let's go down Chantilly. Let's go down 14th. And one other thing I wanted to mention, I haven't seen a lighting plan. I think I saw one of the first meetings that we had that there is a lighting plan. This is a residential neighborhood. It's enough to have Park Place Mall over there. You know, it's doable. But to add more lighting to that area would be very disruptive to that close-knit neighborhood. So those are my concerns. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll jump back to Mr. Will Sullivan.
Hi. Hey, everybody. You remember me, son? Yep.
I will.
Colin, can we get that up there?
Yes, sir. Give me one moment.
Hey, my concern is the same as everybody else's protection in that place. I've been there 30-some years, long as these folks have. But the main thing, the main thing is here is Chantilly. This is See's Candies. Okay. This traffic coming out of Park Mall all comes out and turns. You got three lanes, one lane coming in, and on weekends especially, trying to get out of here, you get blocked, and holidays. Got a big light pole right here. Not a light, no, a power pole. Lots of power lines. And they're coming from here, coming down here. If the bicyclists come down, you're talking about taking this right away. Coming down, Chantilly's narrow, too narrow. I got a big truck. We have to pull over to let a car come by. Bicyclists, it's a no-no. It's not made for bicycles. Okay? This park, you can see right here, that looks wide on the picture. It's not. There's no parking down here, just a little bit of parking. I get blocked. I live on Scarlet. I try to come around, and I can't get in my own alley with my work truck because people park and block it. And they're out there going for walks. Take that in consideration, all right? We're not against it, the path, the bikes. It's just not in there, not made for it, okay?
Thank you.
Take a look.
Thanks,
though.
Okay. Mr. Alex Babb, you're the swine song here tonight.
I've been a resident for 26 years. I'm the neighborhood president. We did a quick poll. We didn't get as many responses as we hoped, but
the neighborhood is unanimous on preferring options three and four, or, you know, two and three on the list, not option one at all. And it's because of the play place. You guys see a play place as the area that's a sandbox that has the wood chips in it. Our children and us see the play place as that green space around it with the benches, with the green grass that's nice and soft. You guys are proposing putting the path through the play place because you're using the green space. Kids run out into that and they run around. They take their first steps in that area. It is not going to be safe for them to do that and fall on asphalt. So we are looking to find a solution that does not take away from our green space right in that area.
Yeah,
we are very scared about that Chantilly and Broadway intersection also. We know the neighborhood. We know the traffic patterns. We would love a voice at the table when it comes to deciding that intersection. We know it. You guys see it once in a while. You've done traffic studies that are years old. They do not explain what we deal with on a daily basis trying to enter and exit our neighborhood. That is the only way to enter and exit onto Broadway if you own a truck. If you have a small car, you can do U-turns on other streets. But that is our main thoroughfare into our neighborhood, and you're talking about putting another block right there on us. I'm worried someone's going to get hit. I think I covered everything. Does anyone else have anything they want to take another minute with?
No,
we're
actually going over time. And I thank everybody that was very directed in your remarks, efficient, passionate, and I thank you all for showing up. Most of them. We are a board of volunteer citizens, and we need to respond to the community. That's our primary function here. We receive information from staff, their projects and everything, but we have a responsibility from our side to meet what the community wants as well. I will close the poll to your audience. This was very memorable, I must tell you. We will all remember tonight. The rest of the meeting, you will hear, just to preview, you will hear the presentation of the proposed plan, but you are all, you can leave if you would like. We won't be embarrassed or anything by that. The next item is pretty boring. It's called approval of the minutes of the last meeting. So I hope all you had a chance to review.
Yes.
Are there any changes? And I'll take a motion.
I move to approve the minutes as written.
Okay. All right. I guess we have to do a roll call.
Can I move second?
I can second.
No, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Okay, roll call. Lisa Vega. Frank Flash. Kathy Krishman.
Yes.
Jose Munoz.
I approve.
Nicole Fife.
Yes.
And Chair Von Spark.
Approve.
Okay, the motion passes.
These are excellent minutes. I've served on a number of committees and commissions, and these are really sparkling. Okay, so as a main attraction here, we've had warm-up acts. So Craig or is Colin going to lead off here? Let's start off. Yes. Palo Verde Park, this was an item that was brought up in the call of the audience and otherwise in previous meetings. And there was a lot of concern about what was the past history and what happened. And so we decided we would add this, even though this is an extraordinary meeting devoted really just to the Alamo Wash Greenway, we felt it was necessary to put this item. So.
And so I have the letter that we received from Mr. Alfredo Araiza regarding Palo Verde Park, and I'm just kind of going to go through it and provide some information in response to the letter.
If you could speak as loud as you possibly could.
Sure, I'll hear around.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Okay. Is it all right if I just read my responses, or do you also need?
Of course. All right. You entertain us any way you think.
I'd like to provide the information.
Sorry, Chair. I don't know if it's possible. Just in case, you don't have to read the question, but just so we understand what we're responding to, give us some context.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Jen.
Yes.
So we had a project at Palo Verde Park, and this project went into construction in December of 2024, with the anticipated completion of, you know, early summer, May, June timeframe of 2025. What ended up happening was the park did not reopen until October of 2025, and part of this is related to timing extensions that we granted to the contractor due to site conditions, such as the caliche that is present in throughout that park, and also the electrical gear for the lighting improvements for the ball fields did not get delivered until October of 2025. So that project could not complete before then. In addition, so the scope of this project was a fully new irrigation system and lighting for the ball fields, basketball court that was replacing the old tennis court, plus pickleball courts, and turf reduction along the edges of the park. So the irrigation mainline that was existing would fail regularly and was very challenging to maintain because it was a concrete asbestos line, which concrete asbestos is fine for water going through it, not so fine when you've broken it and need to handle it. And there's also significant caliche, making it difficult to then make any adjustments and fixes to broken lines. The new irrigation install was challenged because of the prevalence of caliche and also insufficient experience from some of the folks who were on site. So we landed with, you know, a longer irrigation install than we had anticipated. For both of those reasons compounding. In the letter, there is kind of a note around kind of lack of rainfall in the winter time. This was winter 2024, 2025, and we hardly got any rains. And the impact to the trees and the vegetation there. I do want to share that the contractor was watering with a water buffalo throughout the spring on a daily basis. Of course, that's, you know, not the optimal time for an Aleppo pine to receive its water. It really depends on winter rains. And I do also want to share that since the department stopped overseeding so that there was winter grasses, that happened at least 10 years ago, these pine trees were not receiving any irrigation through the winter months because they are only on turf irrigation. Part of the new irrigation project has added dedicated irrigation for trees, so their trees and turf are on separate water sources. There were some trees that were lost because of irrigation mainline being trenched through tree roots. That was replaced by a contractor. All of those trees were replaced by the contractor at their cost. And we're also kind of taking into account how we're holding our landscape architects to drawing where irrigation main lines go and being clear about where tree protections are drawn up on future projects. There is a comment around accessibility and walking surfaces at the park. So all along the east side of the park formerly was turf, and through this project transitions to rock and gravel. There was an existing sidewalk along the east side that has remained through this project. We changed kind of the surfacing around it. And from hearing from neighbors, Ward 2, it was able to fund a decomposed granite pathway both adjacent to the sidewalk and also connecting the sidewalk between some of the ball fields. So there is access in that way again. The next comment was around weeds and turf loss. And it is difficult to know whether Bermuda is there or not when it is in the wintertime. However, recently we've had several staff go out on site to evaluate how much Bermuda is there. It's already greening up because our daytime temperatures have been so warm. So we're seeing that there is maybe around 50% of the turf area is Bermuda, and we're investigating doing spraying the park for weeds, aerating, fertilizing the Bermuda grass areas this spring, and then seeing which areas need seed as well to help that come back. We are anticipating, because now there is a reliable irrigation system, that when we are able to do the aerating and fertilizing, that will support the Bermuda, and it will come back and help push back those weeds that have been able to grow there as the irrigation system had failed over so many years. Lighting and facilities. So there was a request for the security lighting that we have along the parking lot area to be on in the morning. We have now changed that to dusk to dawn lighting over there, so it's just lighting that is always on. There was a comment around restrooms being unusable. The way that the bond package was written, restroom renovation was not included in the scope for that project. The report I received today was that the south restroom is open. The north restroom still has plumbing issues. We've been working with facilities to get everything resolved there and be able to reopen the north restroom. The playground area had to be closed, reopened, and closed again for reinstall. It's now reopened. There are some items that we have requested to be replaced. It's just more of a quality issue than anything else. So playground is still playable and very safe to play on. We are just asking for panels to be delivered that aren't already scratched. Basketball court did need to be restriped by the contractor, and it is also closed again for installation of a hardcover canopy that's been funded by private donations and Ward 2. It will be closed until May. And that is all I have.
Questions from the commission?
Quick clarification, Jasmine. Did you mention that the new irrigation, it's completed now?
Yes.
And when did we start irrigating? I'm just saying about the Aleppos and what you were talking about. When did that go into effect?
Probably would have been in September when they were finishing. So they finished, there are two kind of halves to the irrigation. You saw there was east side and west side. They finished the east side first. And so the irrigation started running on the east side first while they were finishing the west side. And then once the west side has completed, the turf irrigation, I don't believe, has been on very much because they completed it sort of late in the season. But tree irrigation would have been on.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. And I was thinking about the consultants and the workforce that you mentioned. And I understand the Culichi is very hard to get through, but I think when we bring on, you know, consultants, it's their responsibility to understand the region and to also incorporate that into the timeline. So I don't know what we could do as a city to just make sure that that's an expectation. Okay. Thank you.
The density and the depth of Culichi is sometimes astounding.
Yeah, but we have a machinery now.
I know.
And we're paying them a lot of money.
We broke its machinery at this site.
So, yeah. Sorry to hear that, though. That's terrible. I'm sorry,
Devin. My comment, now, there were concerned parties about this, and I'm hoping there will be very wide dissemination of your report to the people that express concern and maybe ask Ward 2 to ensure that it is sent to all the residents in that surrounding area, so that they can objectively understand the circumstances that befell that park. It was a tragedy, obviously, but and the way you laid it out, I think, it's a little more digestible.
Yeah, thank you.
As a physician dealing with chronic diseases, you can at least understand the facts that happened and why they happened, so it makes it maybe a little more digestible. Sorry, we can't entertain comments from the audience.
We respect that.
We wanted to make some clarification on the consent. That's all.
I'm sorry. You can submit something in writing to us. Okay. Is commission satisfied with this response? We don't need to. I think we can just sort of accept this report as such, and with the wish that it will go to the appropriate people on while we disseminate. Okay, this is our main attraction tonight. Helen Chesson.
Hopefully the main attraction is the questions and the responses and the direction from the commission. So I'm going to try to be brief in my presentation. I will say this project is very complicated, and so that's why we're devoting most of a whole meeting to it. I'll also say, kind of before I pull up the presentation, you know, often when we come to the commission with a project change request, it's fairly straightforward.
Oh, shit.
And so often we say, oh, the community came to us and they had this idea and it's good and we want to do it. What do you think? Or we say staff had this idea of how to solve a problem and here's what it is. Do you agree? And this one is just not that. It's more complicated than that. There's a lot of layers to it. You probably saw that in the report that I sent out. I don't expect that you read every word of that report. You know, it was 200 pages long, and there's a separate 30-page long public engagement summary of everything that we went through. So we've spent the past 9 months looking at this project in a great amount of detail, and we haven't even started design yet. So that's kind of where we are in the process. I just wanted to preface it with that, and that's why we're not asking you all to vote on anything tonight. This is just an informational session. This is an opportunity for staff to share what we think the best idea is moving forward, and obviously for, you know, the community to share what some of the concerns that they have. And then the plan is for you all to not vote on this until our next regularly scheduled meeting, which is on April 20th. So you'll have some time to think about it. And with that, I will share my screen and pull up the presentation. All right. So I've got a few different sections, but this first one is intended to cover the history, what we've been up to for the past 9 months, the schedule, and the process for making this decision. Many of you may know this, but the first time that this project was proposed was back in 2010. And it was part of, it was one line on a map of many lines, and it was a joint Pima County, City of Tucson plan where basically folks came to us and they said, hey, we love the loop. Can you make more of that, but do it within the City of Tucson? And also, it would be really great if it connected to more things that where people wanted to go. So have it not just a recreational facility, but also for transportation. So there were some very well-intentioned planners that drew some lines and said, wouldn't it be great if we could achieve this one day? And that was about the extent of kind of the vetting of these projects. So then in 2014, Parks and Rec hired Olson Associates to produce some concept plans for three of the most promising greenway connections in that 2010 plan. And so that was a really good starting point for our process because it helped us understand what previous people, experts, professionals in the field thought was possible or thought was a good idea. I will say, it didn't get us to the level of being able to say, okay, we're ready to design this now and we can do it and we know how much it's going to cost. Go. So that's why we spent this past 9 months looking in more detail about what was really feasible. And I'll talk more about that later. And my slides, there we go. So then in 2018, that's when Proposition 407 passed and that's when we finally had some funding. And y'all have seen this map many times. The Alamo Wash Greenway project is in that white box on the map on the upper right. And then there's a zoomed in version on the left screen. I'll just say this is an off-street shared use path, which is proposed. And I want to highlight that it's from Rito River Park to Aviation Bikeway. That's about 9 miles of all off-street shared use path through a already developed dense urban area. So it's an ambitious project. The bond allocation was $13 million. I'll talk about that more later. So this is what we've been up to for the past 9 months, the project team. And Chloe and Elizabeth are joining virtually, so they're here as well. And I don't normally bring the consultants, but in this case, I just thought it would be nice for them to be present in case there are questions, technical things that come up that I maybe can't answer at the level of detail that they could as our experts. Hi, Elizabeth. May call on you later if needed. There may be questions that you might answer. But this is really what we've been up to. We've been trying to figure out two key questions. One is, what's feasible? And the other is, what do people really want? And there's a lot of technical stuff that went into the feasibility analysis, but we needed to figure out, did we have enough space to build it? Do we own the land? What kind of impacts would it have if we were to build it? Are we going to have to cut down a bunch of trees and regrade stuff? Are we going to have to install bank protection? Part of this is because the project is proposed along a wash, and the city of Tucson has something called the Wash Ordinance. And there are designated washes, Alamo is one of them, that has some very specific requirements about what we can and can't do inside that wash corridor. Some of it has to do with bank protection and erosion concerns. Other things have to do with environmental stuff or flooding. So we had to make sure that we went through that list of all the things that we can and can't do and figure out, you know, what was possible. Bridges, retaining walls, there was a lot of that kind of stuff in that 2014 concept report. Those things are very expensive. They require a lot of movement of earth and, you know, installation of concrete and rebar and things that take a lot of time, and effort and energy and expense. So we needed to figure out where do we really need those? We looked at utilities, and then of course we want to be able to deliver the project within the time frame that the voters expect. So we didn't want to wait 10 years, to make this happen. So that went into our considerations as well. And then in terms of what people want, we wanted to figure out where people wanted to go. Where do they want the path to connect to? What the most important design features were. So things like, is it important to you to be off the street, you know, in a shared use path away from cars? Or is it okay to mix with cars? And in what locations are those things okay or not okay? And for any of the concerns, how can we address those through route selection, facility type, or other design elements? So that's all the stuff, everything in that dark blue color. Well, not everything. Most of the things in that dark blue color are the things that we've already completed. So the first round of public engagement, the alternatives analysis, now we are ready to present our preferred alternative to you all. We've already presented it back to the public. So many of the folks in this room have seen a version of this presentation, and some of the commissioners have seen a version of this since they've attended some of those public meetings. You all know this, but just a quick review of the process. So we're sharing the preferred alternative. You all may have thoughts, ideas, things that you might want us to take another look at, revisit, change. We can do that in between now and the next meeting. If you all then decide at April 20th that our final proposal is satisfactory and addresses your concerns and questions, then we can start design. If you're not happy with what we come back to you with on April 20th and you reject it, then we'll have to start this whole process over again. And we can do that if we need to. Okay, so the alternatives analysis, all these different colored lines are all alternatives that we looked at. So there are 8 different segments, and each segment has between 2 and 5 alternatives. So there are 27 different individual alignments that we looked at as part of this process. There's no possible way that I can go into all of that in this meeting, so I'm not going to try. I'm just going to try to hit the highlights. And really what it comes down to is there's this dividing line of Broadway Boulevard. North of Broadway, it's a very challenging environment to try to construct an off-street shared-use path along the wash. And that's just because it's so constrained. So there's a lot of areas where there's significant impacts to mature trees and to wildlife habitat. We heard this from the public, and they were right. Those things are true. There was private property that we knew we didn't have willing sellers for. So when we did our outreach and we said, hey, what do you think about this idea? there were several folks who owned property that we needed that said, we have no interest in selling you this property. And so that's a really unpleasant situation. We really try to avoid that. We do it sometimes. In this case, we didn't think it was warranted because the concerns that the public was bringing to us seemed valid. I think one woman basically said, but one of the Fort Lowell neighbors said, you could come in here and spend a bunch of money and rip out all the trees to make it worse. But do you really want to do that? And I just thought that was a really compelling argument, and I think the rest of the project team did too. Bank rehabilitation and restoration was another big concern. There's erosion in some areas where we knew we would have to come back and do some significant reconstruction of the bank, which would be time-consuming, expensive, have to go through a lot of permitting. And we really felt like it was outside of the scope of what this project was designed to deliver. And then there's also multiple areas in this northern area where there's construction of retaining walls and bridges. Again, very, very expensive and time-consuming. These are just some images showing some of the typical contexts that we saw north of Broadway. On the far left side, on the upper row, that is on the west side of the Wash in the Old Fort Lowell neighborhood. We heard from some folks tonight that, they were talking about how narrow it is. In some cases, I think she mentioned 8 feet. It's actually as narrow as 6 in a couple, pinch points. So we're talking about 6 feet of space between a concrete block wall that's the edge of somebody's backyard and a very steep slope. So, the only way to deal with that situation is to take their backyard or completely regrade the entire Wash. And that's just a very challenging situation. In the middle here, this is on the other side of the Wash. Same area. There's plenty of space. That's all publicly owned right of way. But the issue is there's this berm that's, acting as some flood control in this area. And so if we went in and, mess with that, first of all, we're going to have to rip out a bunch of trees and habitat. And we're also going to have to deal with all the permitting that's, with the flood control district, which is pretty extensive. So that wasn't a great situation either. Erosion I mentioned on the right upper row, you can see there's 2 feet of space between somebody's private property and this, this bank that's been completely eroded. And then evidence of, there's somebody living there on the side of the Wash as well. Bottom right is an example of an area where I think in theory we could have gone in and built a path there. There's enough space and we probably could have done a retaining wall and it was probably doable. But the lack of privacy was concerning to us that we're putting a path literally right up next to somebody's wall. It just felt intrusive. Okay, so south of Broadway. Now I have good news.
Can I interrupt you just a
second? Sure.
So the reality is at the Alamo Wash and the Rito, if a bicyclist or pedestrian wants to get to Fort Lowell, they can use the loop to get to the Fort Lowell and Glen intersection. So it's not like we're completely obviating that opportunity to transit between those two points.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. So there is an existing unpaved pedestrian path that's well used and loved by the neighborhood. People are currently using it. It makes a direct connection to the loop. It does technically go through private property. It's a private road that would connect to Glen. To the extent to which that neighborhood association, is policing that, I don't know. Technically, it's private property. But, yes, there's no gate. You can walk in. I don't think that as part of this project we would be able to sign it or encourage that kind of activity. But you're right. The connection exists.
Everything you say is – but I'm just taking from a transportation standpoint, there are opportunities, alternative opportunities. It's not like we're shutting down for people to be able to move from Alamo Wash along using the loop to get to Fort Lowell and Glen.
Yeah, that's true. So the good news is south of Broadway, is a great opportunity to build, I think, the project that we hoped we could build, which is an off-street shared use path. So it's a combination of two different things. One of the opportunities is Loma Verde Park. And so we can talk more about that later. Clearly, we've heard from some folks that aren't real excited about that idea. I think from the city's perspective, we saw it as an opportunity because it's publicly owned land. And our understanding is that one of the most commonly requested amenities in a park is a path for walking and biking. So in our view, it was complementary, but not everybody sees it that way. And certainly we understand, too, the disc golf potential conflicts. And that's something that is real, that if we do select the path alternative in the park, I do think we're going to have some careful conversations about how do we make sure that the can coexist with the disc golf users. And I think the playground stuff, I think there's a lot of challenges that, in my view, could be mitigated. But I'm not the ultimate decision maker here. You all are. And so later in the presentation, we have three different alternatives of what we think could happen in the park for your consideration. Okay, so that's one part of it is Loma Verde Park. The other part, from Wilmot all the way down to Stella, there is an existing unpaved alleyway that's in the public right-of-way that has a lot more space than some of the other photos you saw. I'll show you photos here in a second. But it's a really great opportunity, we think, to be able to very cost-effectively install a paved shared-use path that would be really useful and would not intrude too much on folks' privacy because of the available space and opportunities for screening and that sort of thing. The bank rehabilitation and restoration needs, there are some, but they're not as extensive as they are in the north. Our consultant, Elizabeth, actually, and her team did some modeling for hydrology, and so they were able to determine that there were a few spot locations, like some of the areas where, if you see the map, there's some twists and turns. Some of those turns probably will need some bank protection or reinforcement, and then there's other locations where the velocities of the water, it's just the water is moving faster or there's more water, and we may need some bank protection in those areas as well, but it's not as extensive. And this generally avoids the construction of retaining walls and bridges, so that's all good news. These are some images of south of Broadway, upper left, that is Chantilly Drive, which is adjacent to Loma Verde Park. Loma Verde Park is about 80 to 100 feet wide for the most part. And then Chantilly is narrow, about 20 feet wide. Either one of those spaces, you know, are theoretically conducive to people walking and biking, especially bicycling. And so we can talk more about that when we get to that section of the presentation. In the middle there, that's a typical example of what that unpaved alleyway looks like. You can see here, it looks like there's about 8 feet, but there's also 5 feet of some vegetation between the edge of the fence and the park. So that's a fairly constrained location. There's other areas you can see on the image on the right. It's 15 feet wide. There are some where it's up to 20 feet wide between private property and the edge of the top of bank. In the middle here, the middle bottom photo, that's an example of where the path has already been constructed. There's a development, an El Rio development happened down there, and they were aware of the fact that this was in a city plan, and so they constructed part of the path. So that's a good example of what we think the rest of it could look like. And you can see they've installed a railing. There's some nice shade trees, and there's ample space to work with. This is just a by-the-numbers snapshot. We've had 21 different in-person events as part of this project. So we had listening sessions that were focused specifically on property owners. We had 6 public meetings. 3 of those happened at the beginning, and then 3 of them happened over the past couple weeks where we were sharing this information to circle back and let folks know this is where we landed after our initial ideas of where the path potentially could go, and we got feedback. Neighborhood association meetings, we had pop-up events, more than 850 people participated total. We had survey responses that were fairly substantial. We had an interactive map where people could they could drop points on specific geographic locations and give us feedback, and then people could like vote on those comments, say yes, we agree, or no, a bad idea, we don't like that. We sent 27,000 mailers to residents to promote the public meetings, and we installed 100 yard signs. So I think through all of that, the project team is feeling really good about our understanding of kind of public opinion on this project, not just overall, but also like segment by segment. Where are the areas where people are really excited about the project, and where are the areas where people are not as excited? Overall, there was really good, really strong support for improved connectivity, access to recreation, safe crossings. So all those, you know, arterial streets that are, you know, 5 to 7 lanes and high traffic and high speed, putting push button crossings at all those places where the project crosses, that was strongly supported. We heard a lot about preserving shade trees, wildlife habitat, and beautification. And then in terms of the concerns, we heard a lot of concerns about privacy, some on safety, environmental impacts, neighborhood character. That was specifically in Old Fort Lowell, we heard that, that having the unpaved paths was an important part of their neighborhood, and it was actually part of some of their planning documents, is that they prefer unpaved surfaces where possible. Loma Verde, as you've heard, folks are concerned about some of the impacts of the park, and then maintenance. That's something that I think we haven't always historically done the best job with. And so I think there are folks who rightly pointed out, hey, what's your plan for maintaining this and maintaining the project? And that's sort of outside the scope of this part of the process. And I think that critique was well taken, because normally we get money to build something and then we worry about maintaining it later. And they kind of said, that's, you should have the money for maintaining it. So that, I think that's something we're going to have to think about carefully moving forward, because we don't have a funding source identified for that yet. So in terms of the public opinion by segment, 63% of the comments we received were supportive overall, but the strongest support was in the central and southern areas, and the lowest support was in the northern area. We do think that the public generally supports a low-stress on-street bikeway along Saguaro and Chantilly between Glen and Broadway. And we think they generally support an off-street shared-use path along the Alamo Wash between Wilmot and Stella. And then the opposition was really focused in these two areas, the loop at Rito River Park and Fort Lowell, and then in Loma Verde Park itself. Okay. Our recommendation for the preferred alternative, we're finally here. There's colored lines on here that show the different facility types. So the orange are a low-stress on-street bike facility. The dark blue is an off-street shared-use path. The original 407 alignment, you can kind of, it's kind of washed out, but you can see it in the background. It's a dashed light blue, and you can see it follows the wash all the way from the loop at Rito River Park, and then follows the wash all the way down through all the way to Broadway. And there's a reason why that was not the preferred alternative here. And it's because of all those feasibility challenges that I just went through. So there's also, I'll just share a little bit about what this could look like.
Could I ask another technical question? Sure. So the path on Glen from the Rito, from the Alamo Wash east to the loop was essentially a useless arm. That was why it was scrubbed as far as being part of the plan. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, yes. It didn't connect all the way up to where we wanted to connect it to. So there's actually some existing buffered bike lanes on Glen between Craycroft and the Wash.
Yes.
So that we saw as an opportunity, and we looked at that, and we wondered, could we extend those buffered bike lanes? But yes, we realized they're not really connecting to anything if we can't construct that shared use path along
so
the walk.
It's potentially cost saving for the project as well, I guess. So it's one of the other considerations in addition to being an orphan arm.
Yeah, we do have to consider costs. I will say the primary driver of our decision was not cost. It was what's the best project that we can deliver. But yeah, I think you've pinpointed the challenge of the lack of connectivity on Glen. So these are some renderings of what we think the project could look like in the different segments. On the left side of the screen, those are that's the low stress bike facility on Saguaro Avenue. The widths of Saguaro are different between Pima and Speedway and Fifth Street. And so that's why they're two separate concepts. This Saguaro Avenue Bike Boulevard project was its own separate project. And so the folks that were working on this Alamo Wash Greenway project and those folks got together and said, hey, this looks like it's, you know, really close. These two facility types are right next to each other serving a similar purpose. Would it make sense to just pick one of them? And because of all the technical challenges, the right-of-way issues, the having to cut down all the trees, the Alamo team said, yeah, you know, realistically, we're not sure we're going to be able to deliver the wash on the Greenway anyway. And so this it emerged as a solution that would be helpful for both projects and would generate some cost savings as well. So the upper right image, that's a pretty long segment of the project. And that's, you know, I think what the original intent of the project was to have this off-street shared use path. And so the good news is we can deliver a pretty large segment of that between Wilmot and Stella. And then the bottom right image that is labeled incorrectly. Yeah, sorry about that. That should say Jessica Avenue between Stella and Escalante. So that's at the southern end. The wash kind of, it goes off to the southeast in a diagonal direction and then doesn't connect to anything meaningful. Whereas if we use Jessica, I'll just show you on a map. If we use Jessica, it connects right to the aviation bikeway. So you can kind of see the wash in a very light color. See, I guess my cursor doesn't show up here. But on the bottom right side of the screen, you can see there's the wash is in a very light blue. More diagonal. Your gloves. Yeah, right there. Thank you. So yeah, that just didn't really make any sense because it wasn't going to provide a logical connection to anything. Okay, so how does the preferred alternative differ from what was included in the voter materials? I figured you would want to know the answer to this question, and I want to explain it as well as I can. So number one is the segment between the loop at Rito River Park and Glen Street is not included as part of this recommendation to you. So that's that light blue line. From the top of that orange line, left and then up, that is not included in the project for all of those technical challenges and public input that we received. The second change is instead of using the wash for an off-street shared use path between the loop at the Pantano and Broadway, so that orange line, that instead will be a low-stress on-street bikeway. And then, so that blue line that you see, the dark blue, that's what was originally proposed in Prop 407. And then at Stella, from Stella South to the aviation bikeway, instead of being an off-street shared use path, the proposal is for that to be a bicycle boulevard. Okay, so this is the part that I almost didn't put this slide in here because it sort of like it didn't fit in quite the same way that it normally does. But I want to include it because I want to be transparent about what the criteria are and how you'll be evaluating. So does it improve safety? No. Does it decrease safety? No. It's the recommendation that we feel good about will be a safe facility, but it doesn't improve safety over the Prop 407 proposals. Does it improve connectivity? No. It does not.
Yeah.
And arguably, you could say that it actually makes connectivity a little bit worse because we're not including that that segment on the top that Dr. Spark asked about. The good news is it still provides the key connectivity between the loop and the aviation bikeway, just at a different location on the loop. Instead of providing two connections to the loop, it's only providing one. But if you're on the loop, you can get on this facility and you can get the aviation bikeway, which I think is the intent. Does it create cost efficiencies? Absolutely. Is our recommendation all about creating cost efficiencies? Absolutely not. So and I tried to allude to that earlier. I think if we had an infinite amount of money, I still think we would end up with this recommendation because we don't want to go and rip out all the mature trees and regrade the banks of the Alamo and make all the neighbors upset and take their property through condemnation. So I still think that this is the right recommendation regardless of cost. So in summary, we think that this recommendation is consistent with the project vision of a low-stress north-south connection between the loop and aviation bikeway. Very importantly, it's really strongly supported by the public, with the possible exception of Loma Verde Park, which we can talk about in a moment. So that's not the criteria, right? You don't have a "does the public like it" criteria for project change requests, but I know that's really important to the commission, and every time we have one of these, that question always comes up. So I think that point is really important. This one's feasible to build now, so we don't have to get in a bunch of protracted right-of-way negotiations. We're not going to have to spend a ton of time designing structures. So we think this is an efficient way to deliver this project, and the cost is within the Prop 47 bond allocation. Quickly, a financial snapshot. The allocation for this project in 407 was $13 million, $13,120,474. The projected cost for the southern segment, including design and construction, is $13.5 million. So it's a little bit above the allocation. This is not a major concern. We should probably at some point do a more robust financial update in terms of all the things we're doing to shore up our financial situation on the 407 connection side. We're doing a lot. There's impact fees. Patrick and I have been very aggressive about pursuing federal grants, and we have, and regional grants, and have received a couple of big ones, $7.1 million recently.
$7 million.
So don't be concerned about this exceeding the bond allocation by $400,000. That's not a big deal. And lastly, we're bringing in additional funding for this Saguaro Bike Boulevard connection. We have multiple federal grants for that, and we also are leveraging some Prop 411 safety funding to get that done. Did you have a question?
Well, if I remember correctly, a couple years ago, when we were looking at the cost for this project, it was huge. So the fact that you guys brought it down to 13.5, it just shows like how much work you guys have been doing. So I just wanted to like recognize that, because I remember I brought that up a couple sessions back and I was like, well, where's our budget? So thank you guys. It's been a lot of work, it shows. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, $27 million is what it would take to build what we originally proposed in 407.
I haven't been here for a while, so this may be a redundant question. What's the projected use of this thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's a commonly asked question that we can almost never answer very well, and I'm sorry about that. And it's not just the city of Tucson, it's everywhere. So I used to work for a consulting firm that did this work nationally, and there are some models that you can try to use to extrapolate, you know, what kind of use would we project. But it's always so speculative because every context is so different. Every community is different. Rates of bicycling are different in different communities. The adjacent land uses are very relevant. So it's hard to pull out an exact number. I think it will be relatively well used, especially because it provides that connection to two facilities that are already existing and are used, especially the loop is used a lot. And it connects to destinations where people want to go. So I don't have a number for you. I don't think it's an immediate, we're going to see 5,000 bikes on the path a day or anything like that. But I would expect, you know, maybe like a quarter of the amount of people that are currently using the loop, an eighth somewhere, you know, somewhere in that range as a starting point. That's a guess. Don't hold me to that.
Questions? I have a sort of an engineering question.
Okay.
And I'm familiar with like Fifth Street where Saguaro and Chantilly are, and then in the South Loop, as far as water ponding, dips, how do you not engineer to make that a safer coast area, safer when we're in the rainy season?
Yeah.
Just as a general approach.
Good question. I would say some of the drainage stuff is outside of the scope of the 407 project, but I'll say we're aware of some of the drainage concerns that you mentioned at those specific locations. Storm to Shade, for example, is working on a retention detention facility at the elementary school. I forget the name of it.
Sewell.
Thank you. So they're working on that as part of the Fifth Street project. They're also looking at doing what they can to regrade, like when they go in and do the resurfacing that's under construction now, to try to direct the water in a way that will mitigate some of that flooding. In terms of the Allen & Wash Greenway project, I think specifically of Broadway and Chantilly, we know there's stormwater concerns there. There's a large, there's some structures for stormwater on the southeast corner of that intersection that we do not want to mess with. And so we're proposing to build the path on the west side of the intersection, and actually have some concepts if you're interested in seeing some of those later. So yeah, I think we're doing the best we can. We're trying to be as aware as we can of all of those challenges, coordinating with all the different project managers that are working on some of the other projects that will have a bigger impact on stormwater. And we're trying to make sure that we're not making anything worse with our project.
Thank you.
I do want to talk about this Loma Verde Park thing, especially since everybody stayed. So we have a recommendation for Loma Verde Park that includes building a path in the park. And some of the residents are not excited about that. From my perspective as a professional working in bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure for 15 or 20 years, I've seen this be successful to build a path in a park. I have not seen major conflicts. I really like the idea of providing a dedicated pedestrian facility for folks, because there are no sidewalks on Chantilly or on 14th. There are some sidewalks on 14th Street, but not on Chantilly. So I think those are the key advantages for me, in addition to the fact that what we promised the voters was a shared use path that's off street. And for me, there has to be a compelling reason to deviate from that. And I didn't think there was. But again, I'm not the decider, and I want you all to see that we were trying to be as responsive as we could to the neighbor. And so these alternatives, if you all were to direct staff to pursue one of these two alternatives, I don't think that fundamentally compromises the integrity of the project. I think, especially in alternative one, you're still providing a dedicated pedestrian facility for folks. You could have a bicycle boulevard on Chantilly. A bicycle boulevard on 14th Street would also work just fine. They're low speed, low volume streets. This alternative one is a sidewalk instead of a shared use path. And so that's designed to minimize the impacts to the turf, which we heard that folks really value. That's one option. Another option, this is alternative two. You can see in the bottom left-hand corner, the only shared use path in the park is in the areas where the street network doesn't connect. And so everything else would be a bicycle boulevard. We could build a ramp up onto that path. People would have to walk in the street or in the park in this context. I don't love that. But I understand that sometimes there's trade-offs between wanting to preserve the park area. So that's just for your consideration. And I'm interested to hear what the commission thinks. You don't have to respond to this right now. This could be just take it all in. But I do think by the April 20th meeting, I would love to get a sense where the commission is on which one of these options they think is the best.
I think it would be very helpful that every commissioner walk this park to really.
I was going to say, could somebody just stand up at the screen and walk us through the two alternatives? Because it's hard to just like.
Oh, yeah, it is. Nice.
If you took the slide, I'm trying to follow you on the PowerPoint, and I am having a hard time. Just because it's hard to see it, so.
Could you just stand up there?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Right, that would be helpful. Thank you.
I appreciate that you were willing.
Yeah.
Okay, so the previous slide, which is the staff recommendation, mm-hmm. is a 10-foot wide shared use path in the whole park. Mm-hmm. That part you got.
Yes.
So this is the second alternative. And this is showing a sidewalk that starts here. This is all sidewalk. This is all sidewalk. Starting here, this is a 10-foot wide shared use path going through here. And the reason for that is because Chantilly ends right there. So this, Chantilly terminates at this alleyway. And so the street network doesn't connect here. And so that's why there's a need for the shared use path in this area. And then there's a shared use path all the way to here. And then there would be a ramp down to a bicycle boulevard on 14th Street. And then this is a sidewalk going all the way down here. Does that make sense?
Yes. And bikes would be allowed on the sidewalk?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Bikes are just for the pedestrians.
So only the sidewalks
are just for the pedestrians.
Yeah, the sidewalks are just to provide an accessible facility. Okay. Like if you're in a wheelchair, for example, this would provide an accessible facility for those folks, and then the bikes would use the street. So bikes would use 14th Street. We'd put shared lane markings down. We'd put 20-mile-an-hour speed limit signs in. It would look like a typical bike.
This is school.
15
now. Below 14th Street.
Somebody gets hit on a bicycle on that street. Guess who they're going to come after?
The second alternative.
Yep.
Can you clarify about the playground and where the path is?
Can we go to the original proposal and look at this?
So this is a playground right here. And so the sidewalk option. Okay. So this is the original. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah.
So this is the original. This is the shared use path option. And so a lot of what we were hearing from the neighbors was, oh, there's no way you're going to be able to fit a 10-foot wide shared use path. It just doesn't fit in the park. That is not true. You can fit one. And it fits in between the playground and the wall.
How much?
I can't read it from here, but.
It's 12 feet, Colin.
So 12 feet between the edge of the path and the wall. So there's ample space here, but it does create a deviation in the path. Like, people don't always like to go around things, and so having a more direct route could be advantageous. The shared use path does not fit in front of the playground, between the playground and this parking area. So that's why it's going around. And then the other, and I'll say too, these are all very, very conceptual. These were created mostly to be responsive to the neighborhood. And say, okay, well, let's draw it out and let's see what we could do. How do we demonstrate that it is possible to avoid the trees and go around the playground? And so it is possible, but the concern is that it's not ideal. Lita, you want to go to the second one? So see, the second one is when you do a sidewalk, it's only 5 feet wide. And so it can go in front of the playground. And so some of these conflicts about, you know, high-speed bicycling and children playing on the playground, in theory, that helps mitigate some of those issues.
Would that mean that the parking lot around that area would also go away?
No.
Yeah. Okay. So it would be on the inside of the parking area?
We can change.
I don't know. I couldn't tell.
This proposal would be keeping the parking in place.
Okay.
But like I said, we haven't started design yet, and these are all highly conceptual ideas. We're really just trying to get a sense about if the commission feels like they want to stick with what the voters said, what the voter initiative included, or if we want to deviate from that because of some of the feedback we're getting.
And alternative two?
So alternative two has no sidewalk and has no impacts to the park until you get to the end of Chantilly. And that's where there would be a shared use path. And then the shared use path exists only where the street network doesn't connect. And there would be a ramp here, no sidewalk along this southern end of the park. So this has minimal impacts to the park. The other thing I'll say is this area is almost exclusively gravel as opposed to turf. And so we were trying to keep it on the gravel, go around the trees to the extent that we could.
And is this the alternative that is preferred by the neighbors, alternative yes. to generally, those that are here today?
Yes.
What about traffic?
Not universally, but generally.
Generally.
And question for you, Colin. I'm just looking on Google Earth. So on that south end, I do see a lot of mature trees, but I also see the area with more of the gravel. Are you thinking about leaving what seems to be like an alleyway between the park and the residents?
That's a school.
That's a school? Okay.
That's the 80s schools.
Beyond that, the
stop. Yeah, the idea is to take the route of least resistance when it comes to, like, ripping out vegetation or grass. So we were kind of trying to stay as much of the gravel as we could and go around the mature trees.
All right. Thanks so much, Colin.
Another concern was the ingress at Chantilly. And the C's building and seemingly parking space east of the C's building, whether or not that was in fact public land or was private property or what, as far as having some potential use or expansion.
Yeah. So this is a really weird situation because the public, all of these parking spaces that you see on the edge of C's Candy, those are all in the public right of way. At least it appears that way. And what we've heard from the neighbors is that this used to be an alley that was an extension of Chantilly. And somewhere around 2000, this was redeveloped and the intersection was changed. And they closed this alleyway because they were trying to facilitate traffic in a specific way for safety. And so it may still be in the public right-of-way and looks to be as far as we're concerned. We need to confirm that with our real estate folks, and that's one of the key next steps. There are ways to reconfigure this intersection without taking that property if it's not in the public right-of-way. So we did some traffic analysis at this location because we wanted to make sure that this is probably the most complicated intersection in the whole project. And we knew that if we picked an alignment that used this intersection, we would need to be sure that we could modify and retrofit the intersection in a way that would make it safe for people to walk and bike through it, right? And so in order to make that determination, we had to understand traffic flows. So our consultant produced a traffic memo, and they determined that those three northbound left turns coming out of the mall, that those are not necessary, and in fact, reducing to two would actually improve operations. I don't fully understand exactly how that works, but I think it's something to do with the fact that you're coming from one lane and then there's three, and so you have to make this decision about which lane you're going into, and the car behind you has to make decisions about what lane they're going into, and that all is slow and isn't as efficient as you would think it is. So the model suggests, and I know there's skepticism from me too, but our professional traffic engineers say, based on data from, you know, recent traffic counts from four different time periods, this works if you take it down to two left turn lanes. There was also some conversations about power poles. It's hard to see them, but all those little red dots on the sidewalk areas at that intersection, those are all like vertical elements of some sort. The larger red dot is a power pole. So they're there. That's true. We think we can work around them. There's three different concepts here, and I won't go through all the details here, but one of them is just reducing down to two northbound left turn lanes. You can see in all the options, we're going to be adding a new crosswalk on the west leg of the intersection, because currently there's no crosswalk on that leg at all, which is highly problematic if you're going to put a path there, right? So we needed to make sure that that all worked with the traffic. It appears to. There's another concept that is similar, and there's different variations on this that have to do with the See's Candy. So this one you can see, we're assuming that that See's Candy parking is in the public right-of-way and that we can use it. This we think would be preferred. If it turns out it's not in the public right-of-way, you can see there's an option that goes around it. Those red lines on the concept, those are the property lines. So you can see this is avoiding that See's Candy area. The mall property is all private. So no matter what, we're going to have to engage with the mall and, you know, make sure that they don't have any issues or concerns with any of this. And then the third concept does maintain those three northbound lefts. If for some reason we need to do that, we can still fit everything as long as we can use that property that we think is public right-of-way, that's the existing See's Candy parking. So there's still a lot more work to do on this, but the vetting was, does it work with traffic? Is there enough space? Answer to both is yes.
Mr. Chair? Is there, Colin, out of the 9 miles, how much is this section around the park?
Around the park? Just the park itself?
Just, yeah.
Oh, I don't know that answer off the top of my head.
Let's see. I'm not sure.
A quarter mile? Half a mile?
About a
half a mile. A mile?
Well, Broadway to Craycroft, or Wilmot to Craycroft is a mile.
Yeah,
it's just about a half mile.
About a half mile.
So you're going three quarters of it in the north.
Anything else anybody wants to talk about? I have a bunch of other slides here, but that I'm not going to give a question.
Obviously, during the interval between our next meeting, any additional information that the commissioner should be looking at, you'll be sending out, obviously.
So I don't have anything additional that I want to – actually, I'd like to resend out the public engagement summary because I sent that like a couple weeks ago, about a month ago when we were preparing for the public meetings. I sent out a link to the project website, but it may not have been exactly clear where the link to the public engagement summary was. So I'd like to send that out again. It's like a 30-page document that summarizes like all the public comments we received. So I'll be sending that out. But other than that, I don't have any additional.
They would like more detail of the park, higher magnification maps, so we could actually visualize that. I think that would be very helpful. Obviously, walking the park was even more helpful, but having maps proposed two different alternatives really very helpful.
Yeah, and we could even do that now if anybody wants more clarity on that. And then maybe we could have done that previously.
Yeah, there you go.
So, but yeah, we have those.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, Colin. Oh, you also have a Jose with his hand up. Sorry, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
You have a member with his hand up.
Oh, sorry. Jose? Munoz?
Hi, Colin. Thank you so much for the great presentation. I just had a question. I know we keep hearing about like protecting our green space and the importance of what this park means in regards to the green space and trees. Is there any plans or areas where we can increase like green space or add trees if any trees were impacted due to this project?
Yeah, Jose, is your question specifically about Loma Verde Park or the project?
Yeah, Loma Verde Park, specifically, given the community's concerns on protecting the green space.
I don't know about opportunities to expand the existing green space. I don't think that we identified any of those. But I do think there are opportunities to plant more trees in the park along the path, I think. You know, that's generally part of what we want to do with our shared use paths and greenways, and it's part of our design guidelines to add vegetation and shade trees where we can. So I think maybe not to the first one, but yes to the second question.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Did that answer your question, Jose Munoz?
Yes, it does. Appreciate it.
I was wondering about reconfiguring the parking space with the idea of maybe moving the parking further south somehow and therefore having less of a choke point in the playground area.
Yeah, so
a consideration at all.
I think so. And again, we haven't started design yet, so a lot of these ideas are just that. They're just kind of sketches on paper to show what could be possible. So, yeah, I think we could look at shifting.
I'm going to make the assumption on the weekends that parking space is really heavily used. But it seems to me there is additional space that maybe could be co-opted to the south before you hit the trees to move the parking further south. So
you're talking about in this area, Dr. Sparks?
Yes, exactly.
We can't get through there yourself.
Any other questions? Frank?
You can go ahead.
I just, when I heard that about the three lanes, how do I say this? I violently agree with your traffic engineers. That is the stupidest. You could easily go with two lanes there. It's very confusing, and it's dangerous, too, the way people use it.
Yeah, my concern was that shot you showed about the big red truck there right next to the park where there's going to be the bike pathway.
Big red truck.
Yeah, you showed
the Google map of it.
A scene.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And that's where the bike path or sidewalk is projected to be. The parking lot.
The parking lot of the park.
That's where the big red truck was.
Yeah, on street view.
So, right here?
The first shot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, my concern would be, you know, with joggers and little kids learning how to walk or ride their bikes. I would be really concerned of a truck like that going through and you got littles learning how to ride, running. And that's a concern to me. Is that a high traffic area there?
No.
The traffic volumes are low on Chantilly. But the park does get a lot of use. I mean, maybe that's another reason to consider moving the parking further south to get it further away from the playground.
So if you move the vehicular parking further south and the visibility is cleared from a safety standpoint, it's much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. There's definitely, it's just a gravel area.
It's grass.
That's an old picture.
If we had water.
That's before the water.
You
don't see
anything. So you come to the bank and you.
Every time you Thank you.
Yeah, this is from 2025 and does look like they planted a couple trees there. So there'd be some impacts for that.
Yeah, that'd be a safety concern to me.
All right. Had a very detailed session. The commission has any other theories of staff? A lot of homework to do, obviously, between now and next meeting.
Chair?
Yes.
And Colin, I think you mentioned getting kind of like a feel for how we're feeling right now based on what you provided. Is that something you would still like to hear from us, or would you like to wait?
At some point between now and ideally before April 20th, like a week or so before,
Dr.
I'd like to know, because I'd like to have our updated proposal reflect the desires of the commission so that we could then be ready to vote on what the commission would like to direct staff to do.
Well, I wonder how we're going to do that.
Yeah, I do too.
Spark, would we be able, I don't know if the committee would be open to kind of just sharing in like less than a minute what we're thinking based on the thoughts, because I know I just have something I did want to mention that also aligns with Prop 47, but what do you think?
Well, We can give some preliminary ideas, but I'm just concerned we can't, because of sunshine rules, as I understand them, can't really have discussions outside a meeting, for instance. That's not allowed, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And yet we have set this deadline for the next meeting.
Would it be appropriate to be able to share, I don't know if each commissioner wants to share kind of, I know we talked about safety, and I know for me, I did want to share a couple of thoughts on, like, the, not just the economic, but the environmental component. I don't know if that's like, helpful at all, but I want you to leave with something from us, if it's appropriate, though.
I mean, the other option is the commission could direct us to proceed with the staff recommendation, except for Loma Verde Park, and we can determine that later in design in coordination with the neighborhood. Maybe that's an option.
Yeah, I mean, we can do that. We can approve everything but the Loma Verde design at the next meeting, if that's the pleasure of the commission. Lisa?
Or could we take a field trip to Loma Verde Park?
Well, I think we all need to
go. I've gone down. Yeah. I haven't walked it the whole, but I did drive down, and I spent a good deal of time. And of course, it was a kind of a drizzly day, so there wasn't a lot of activity. So I'm not sure how representative it was of the natural typical day. But I try to go. I will try and go again. The problem is, I'm not going to be here for the vote.
Okay. Well. The chair at the next meeting will welcome a motion as to how the commission feels if they want to approve everything but the Loma Verde design. We can do that. If they feel we have a consensus and a majority in favor of staff recommendation as far as Loma Verde Park, we will do that. So we'll leave it that way. And I think being on the ground in the park and see where the parking is, where that playground is, look at 14th Street, think about people and wheelchairs or wheeling baby carriages that
walkers
really would like a sidewalk, protected sidewalk, those kinds of things.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I know it was mentioned before by the public, and I guess I'll ask Colin and our consultants if, I don't know if it's okay, Ms. Chloe and Ms. Elizabeth, but I think there was some interest in, like, co-creating or walking through. I don't know. I'm sure you've done that a million times, Colin. I'm sure you've done it, but I don't know if our consultants can maybe sit and go with the Loma Verde, like, associations and kind of walk through it, because I went to Catholic school at St. Joseph's, and I know this park well. And so I understand, and I think once you go in there and you start seeing that safety interaction, especially with the kiddos and the playgrounds, and we worked really hard to improve playgrounds, I just, I don't know if we can bring you closer to the project. I don't know if you're located here, Elizabeth, but excellent. I don't know if that would be an option, Colin, if you might be open to bringing one of those people and doing a walkthrough with them.
Yeah, I have done it, and they've done it with me.
Really?
More than once, right, Elizabeth?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I live here in Northwest Tucson, and yeah, we've done site visits, biked it. So yes, very familiar with the area.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. I am feeling that we have exhausted our opportunities tonight. obviously, every member of the commission will be doing their homework. I don't know if you're not going to be here, maybe you can have a proxy.
I don't know.
If that's I don't know. We would have to find out if that's possible.
We can ask a question to the clerk's office.
Yeah. Please do that, because I think you've really walked the park. And
I've gone to some of the sessions.
So yeah. We would value every commissioner's input. Okay, I'm going to close this part and thank Colin for an excellent presentation. In particular, I think you've really shortened it to an extent, but not left anything out that wasn't appropriate. This is about the fourth time I've heard your presentation.
More information and the transparency that you provided is very appreciated.
Yeah. And it's obvious that you've heard the community and integrated that response. Very much. The other thing I wanted to compliment you, some of the temperatures in the room for the discussion were high, and you handled things very diplomatically and very respectfully, which is sometimes really hard, I think, when you're faced with that kind of emotion. Okay, so we will move to the next item, noting the future meeting, April, and it's late April Fools. We'll find out. The 20th July, hopefully for some rain there. Are there any future items that people would like to bring? I like the fact that we brought back the big Palabird Park.
Feedback.
If there's a response from the people that hear your reports, I think we should include that at the next meeting as well. You will give them the information. I want to see what maybe there's some response. Are there any commission or staff announcements?
No announcements. One question. Sorry, one last question for Greg. I think this might be you. I think you might have already told me about this. Is there a map where we can show the community the not just the various projects, but the projects that have reinstalled new irrigation, specifically those parks? Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
And again, I'd like to welcome Frank Flash back. We'll have maybe some monetary and funding things to look at next time. We'll rest up from that next
time. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, you'd be on your
knees. Okay, Chair, welcome. Motion for adjournment.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Thank you. Thank you, the community, for.
Thank you, Doctor.
Yeah, that's all it is.